This is episode 32 of Parent Cast with Mary and Blake. All the way from Cranston, Rhode Island, welcome to Parent Cast, a podcast dedicated to new parents, new babies, and their new lives together. So listen and relax, folks, because it's free, it's funny, and it's a lot better than therapy. Everybody, welcome back. My name is Mary Larson.
And this is Blake. And oh my goodness gracious, it is great. It is more than great. It is Stella. It's more than Stella. It's interstellar.
Yes.
To be back. It's to be back again. After a long, long time, a long, hard fought battle, many a fought battles with many a different thing, we are finally able to come back and reintroduce ourselves, this podcast, and everything that we're doing back into season two of Parent Cast.
Yeah. So for those of you who are new to Parent Cast, or, you know, it's like we're renewing. Blake and I are parents of two amazing kids. Our son is 4 and our daughter is 2. So we are still in the throngs?
The muck.
The muck. We are still in those mucky, sleepless, not really clean years. Lots of wiping butts. So we are right there with you. I feel like just yesterday I was pregnant, because pretty much just yesterday I was. And it's been a blur. But this episode is going to be fun because it's realistic tips about parenting. So the great thing about ParentCast is that if you are a seasoned parent, or if you're a parent to be, you know, there's something in here that possibly we all can listen to, learn from, and have a good laugh about.
There's something for everyone here.
Yeah.
And, you know, we started technically season two back with the last episode, episode 31, which was about the postnatal paternal depression. And obviously I had admitted and copped to and had discussed fully what that entails and what that entailed for me,
mm-hmm.
and how awful it was. And at the time I thought that I had a grip on it. But then we moved and we had a whole bunch of things happening all at once, and it kind of all came back again, which mm-hmm. is why we retreated from this show for quite some time. But now I really feel like not only do I have a grasp on it, but we together as a couple have a grasp on it, and a better grasp with each other.
Yeah. We're ready to go. It's like some shady, guess who's back? Back again. It's us, guys. We're back. We're healthy. We're emotionally healthy.
And we're able to finally give reasonable levels of advice, or provide a reasonable level of just for you, a venue for you to vent.
We're out of the fog. And just as a little PSA, for those of you who are in the real young years, you might find yourself in a fog like this. Don't beat yourself up.
Right.
Okay? The sun will come out tomorrow, as Annie said.
Tomorrow, I love you.
Okay.
No. What, you want to hear me sing?
No.
No, okay, good.
But I do want to get into the judgment-free zone.
All right, let's do it.
So, quick thing, for people who might be new or don't remember what the judgment-free zone is, what is it, babe?
It is just an admission, something that we can all say here, and, you know, we are judgment-free on this podcast. You know, if your kid eats a cigarette, that's cool with me, because, you know what, kids do that. You know, it happens. And
it doesn't happen. It happens in movies, but yes.
But you know what I mean? Like, yes. That's just an example of the stupid crap kids do, and they do it all the time.
As do we as parents. So this is always our disclaimer when we do the judgment-free zone, that we are going to be judgment-free of you and your parenting style. And just to let you know
you
that
you should definitely be judgment-free of us.
Because we don't know what we're doing. So, Blake, what is your judgment-free zone
story?
A confession, feel like.
Yeah. So to make you, the parent, feel better for your parenting skills, I'm going to let you know that my son, Reese, he's definitely worn his pants backwards for the past 5 days. And I can honestly tell you that I'm just way too lazy and way too tired to correct him. So I've been letting him walk around like what's the name of that band? Crisscross. I've been letting him walk around like Crisscross.
Mm-hmm.
For God knows how long. 5 days, actually.
Yeah.
So I don't want to correct him. Like, okay, you got your
pants on
backwards,
bud. Just tell him, tag on the bum.
And he still doesn't listen.
Nope.
But I'm proud of him for being able to put his pants on by himself.
Little accomplishments. That's what you have to do. You're just going to have to raise your fist and be like, well done. You're dressed.
Attaboy. Good job. All right, ready to get into the show?
Yes.
Let's do it. All right, so this is the top 15 realistic tips for you, the parent.
I wouldn't say top, but some great.
There's some good. There's some good advice
nuggets in here.
And the good thing is too that if you are a parent of a toddler, there's some stuff in here for you. And if you are a brand new parent, if you are someone ready to be a parent, there's also stuff for you guys in here as well. So it's for the royal we as parents.
There we go.
Let's put it that way. My love, why don't you take the first one?
The first one of a realistic tip about parenting is your relationship with your partner is probably definitely going to evolve. Kids don't change everything, of course, but they do make everything evolve. And sometimes it brings out the worst in you. So hold on to your butts, go on date nights, find the things that you love about each other, and hold on tight and give each other a lot of patience.
Yeah, lots of patience is really important. Again, everybody always says, oh, kids change everything. And blah, blah, blah. And they're not wrong, but they're not right either, right? You know, like,
I mean, you're still you.
You still are you. You still have your same likes and you still read the same books and you still watch the same movies.
You're just going to be tired and poor and
very, very, very poor.
And you can't leave the house that much. So, you know, you probably might be a little more short-circuited. You're not going to be going as out on many date nights or spontaneous trips. So you might have a little problem with how you look and that makes you feel a little bad.
Right. And that's why I say relationships evolve, because you're not always going to have the best version of you around your spouse when you have kids.
Or when you have a partner in general and you're living together.
No, but I mean, like, even then you can kind of put your best foot forward, because you can go out and do things and you have money and you're able to like enjoy each other's
fun. Able to be selfish.
Yes, because you
in a healthy way.
Yeah, like you can go out one night and go to the bars and just go get drunk and have fun and just have a good time with you or your friends or whatever. And then the next morning, dude, wake up 10 o'clock, go get some brunch, come back, go back to bed, just sleep it off.
The pre-parent days, of course.
And and when you have kids, you can't do that anymore. I mean, you can, but it's going to suck. And trust me, I've done it. It really sucks.
Well, you can't sleep until 10.
Exactly. And that's why it really sucks. So things evolve.
But just to like keep noticing the good things that brought you together to begin with, to remind each other that you're going to be a little short if you're tired, just to have a lot of patience, because it does. It can, you know.
It's like a Rubik's Cube. You have to figure each other out.
Yeah.
And again, that's why I say you're not always putting your best foot forward when you have a kid, because everything kind of becomes condensed.
Yeah.
And you have to like figure out what works for you, what works for your partner, and what works for the both of you together.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, let's do the next one. The next one is, buy lots and lots and lots and lots. I mean, you know what? Go to BJ's. Go to BJ's or wherever.
Sam's Club, Costco.
Whatever your big bulk stores are, go buy lots and lots of mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese. That's your tip.
Damn straight.
Tell me.
Because mac and cheese, every kid eats it.
Yeah.
And if you are afraid that your kid isn't eating dinner for some particular reason, like, I know we all want to expand our kids' palates. I know we all want them to eat rhubarb and, like, I don't know.
I like that you just chose rhubarb as a thing that you would want a child to eat.
I try to think of something, like, you know, exotic.
An apple.
Or you want your kid to, like, have, I don't know, like carrots.
There you go.
Or whatever.
I can handle carrots over rhubarb.
What? Guess what? Your kid ain't going to eat it.
Why all right? not?
If he does eat it or she does eat it, it's only because it's luck. I don't know many kids, like four and under, that eat that kind of stuff.
Felicity eats carrots.
Yeah, but she spits it out half the time.
She does. I think she just likes chewing it.
I know, right, exactly. So that's what I'm saying. If you're worried about your kid eating and you want your kid to get more food, I promise you, mac and cheese gets it done.
I mean, just find your kid's staple, because not only right. is that going to be in handy then, it's going to be in handy when you have babysitters, when you're traveling. Like those staple foods that you know are going to fill them up, stock up on. If you're doing any traveling, just bring tons of it. I mean, our friend Kendra moved to Japan, and I remember her saying how she had to like search for her squeeze packages, you know, like pouches, because that was something that she knew that her son, her toddler, would like actually eat, because mm-hmm. he just wasn't eating there. So, you know, just make sure you have a lot of the food they're familiar with that they love whenever you travel, changes, or just in life in general.
Right. And you know what? Bonus points.
Yeah.
Bonus points here. Chicken nuggets. Chicken. That way you get the protein in. You get the protein, you get the carbs, you get the dairy, mac and cheese,
oh my
and
God.
Nuggets.
No.
It's like the four food group, five, whatever the hell. However many food groups there are, it's like all included. In the mac and cheese and chicken nuggets.
I disagree.
Except for like the fruit pot.
This is why I have to feed our children healthy meals during the day. Because when you come home at night.
What? What are you trying to tell me?
You just give them white food. Chicken and mac and cheese. I love you. All right. So number three is we highly recommend that you don't buy button pajamas. This, of course, is for like the newborn, the young baby, infant time, those months when like they have those really cute snap pajamas. Mm-hmm. We really recommend on ParentCast that you get zipper pajamas.
I know zippers as a newborn, they seem, they're intimidating. I get it. They are a little intimidating. In fact, they were so intimidating for me that we went out and bought those magnet ones.
I love those.
Those magnet ones are cute. That's a secondary option. Go buy the magnet ones.
They're just a little expensive.
They are wicked expensive, but they look cute.
Yes, they do.
But the buttons, oh my God, especially the ones that go all the way down the legs.
And they all do.
And they got to go all the way up the crotch and then up the
and then you do one
stomach.
Wrong.
And then the whole thing's all off, and then the kid can't get right, and he's crying, and you're crying. Everyone's pissed off, all because you didn't go buy zipper pajamas. Get over the fear of having zipper pajamas, because it's so much easier with the zippers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just zip them up and zip, done.
Like they can't wiggle.
I know.
You're set. I even like that the zipper gets hidden half the time
right.
on that little flappy thing, so they can't figure it out.
Then you can put the binky with the little strap. If your kid likes binkies, which most of them do, you know the little strap thing that you put onto the
binky holder.
The binky holder.
Yeah.
And you clip it onto that little thing that hides the zipper.
They're good to go.
And they can't get out of it. Like sometimes they force the way out of the buttons and God, that sucks. No thanks.
All right. Number four.
Hold on. Number four. What do you got? Oh, it's my turn. You don't have to give your kid a bath every day. I promise. Your kid's going to be healthy. Your kid's going to be fine. Especially in like the newborn days. Don't worry about giving your kid a bath every single day. Even when they're like a little bit older than newborn and infant. They're like a little bit of a toddler. You still don't got to give them a bath every day. Because if you give your kid a bath every day, I feel like you're just punishing yourself.
Oh, good. See, I disagree. I agree that you don't have to bathe your child every day.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that there is a huge benefit when it's part of the nighttime routine. You know, kids and babies love routine. A nice warm bath cools them down or like calms them down. So do you need to wash your child? Like, will your child grow mold? No,
will
it
your
won't
kid get moldy.
You know, most likely you're keeping your babies very clean. Like, I think you need to be washing toddlers a lot more than you're washing babies, in my opinion, unless they have blowout diapers. But exactly, like, it's not going to hurt them. But I think that bath times are actually should be a tip in a different way. That
okay.
like an everyday bath time in a routine is wonderful and is special if you can carve in that time. Our kids love it. I notice it calms them down a bit, so you don't have to, but I think it's useful.
No, and if you do feel like you are that anal kind of person that has to wash their kid every day, again, you don't have to give them a bath. Wipe them down. Just wipe them down with some baby wipes, like before you put them in bed.
We found that our son, when he had colic when he was a baby, he hated bath time. Like, so many babies love bath time. Our son hated bath time. And we had to wash him at least every once in a while, you know?
Gosh. I mean, we didn't go weeks or anything.
Well, no, but...
Maybe.
No, we didn't. We totally didn't. We were good, clean parents. But what we ended up doing was taking him in the shower with us. So we would put kind of like a face cloth or a hand towel on one of our shoulders. Mm-hmm. And the other person would hand the baby to the naked parent in the shower with the baby on their shoulder. And the other parent would soap the baby's back, soap the baby's bum, soap it all up. Then we'd flip the baby around, soap up that way, and boom, clean baby, 2 minutes, done. And if it was real postpartum, mama gets a shower.
I was just about to say that. An indirect benefit is that moms who rarely get showers during this time are able to get a shower. Granted, I know it's not like the calming, like candles in the room and you
Well, once you took the baby away, it was great. And for single parents too, this is something that you can do if you have a tough baby who doesn't want to bathe, who just isn't sleeping, who is colicky, or maybe you're not a single parent, but your partner isn't there a lot. Like, you can still be in the shower and they're going to like it. They're going to like it. Like, if you're holding them nice and tight.
Mm-hmm.
You can still soap yourself one-handed.
Sure, why not?
I don't know about shampooing, but I bet you could.
I bet you a guy could. I don't know, maybe.
Someone can. Right, number 5. This is something that a few people might disagree with, but we have come to see the light. TV is not evil.
No,
is TV
not
like your best friend? Should you hang out with it all the time? Not really, but you know, a lot of people say they're never going to allow their children to watch TV before they have kids, and you know, A for effort. Maybe you did really well, like if they're an infant. But sometimes your brain needs a vacation, and TV sometimes is the only thing that is going to allow you to sleep for 20 minutes. I know this for a fact, especially when I got pregnant with my second.
Mm-hmm.
When I was pregnant with my second, that tired, sheer exhaustion or nausea, I couldn't keep up with my toddler. And I sure as heck couldn't afford to pay a babysitter.
Right.
But if we watched Frozen every day...
Oh no, we watched Little Einsteins.
Little Einsteins.
Little Einsteins was key. It was absolutely clutch.
Dragon. I mean, you name it. We had a rotation.
Yes, we did.
But come that 2 o'clock time when pregnant mama just couldn't hang at all, like I was pretty much a sloth on the floor. I did. I would use television, and I realized it's not evil, and my kid is still here, and he's pretty smart. So I'm cool with TV now. Do I think it should be on all day every day? No, but it's not as evil.
But here's
as we
the thing too.
Be.
Here's the thing too with television. Choose something that isn't annoying. Like, don't go put on Doc McStuffins or like
you
Caillou.
Some people, you don't even know. You don't even know what Doc McStuffins is about.
It's about a little girl who fixes.
She's a female doctor.
That's
in
great.
The making.
I'm
huge.
Great. Happy for her. That's fantastic. I'm saying watch something that your kid can learn from. Like
Caillou, you can hate on. Okay.
Caillou's. Mm-mm. Nope. Caillou's evil.
There you go. So TV isn't evil.
No, but Caillou is. No, watch Little Einsteins, right? I mean, not only did they learn about music, they learned about art, they learned about a whole range of things.
There's a ton of great shows that can be educational, fun. I mean, there's always Sesame Street, all that kind of jazz. And it's been fun for us to talk with our son, to hear him say things like, just the other day, we were driving. And he's like, Mama, where are we going? And I said, we're going home. And he goes, why don't we go to Seattle to the Space Needle? And I was like, what? How do you know this? And he's like, Little Einsteins. He calls it Rocket, but Little Einsteins.
Number 6. Staying with friends, or staying friends with people who don't have kids.
Yeah.
It's very hard.
So hard.
It's very hard. And it's not their fault.
No.
It's not your fault. It's not that it can't be done. It really can be done. It really can.
It's just your flexibility is no longer flexible.
Right. So you, the parent, you got to put the work in.
Yes.
If your best friend just... doesn't have kids, and like they're going out gallivanting and on the town. You're gonna have to find a way, either one, to join that person, or two, get that person to come to your house while your kids are in bed or whatever. And you have to plan, and you have to make sure that you have time for that person.
Or even if it's FaceTime. You know, if you want to FaceTime on a regular basis with the person to stay in better contact, because it is, you're going to have less flexibility.
Right.
Then you have to worry about the sitters. And if you're a nursing mom, for example, it's really hard to be away from the baby. You barely can. So it takes more work. Just like we said in the beginning, the relationship with your partner is going to take more work. Relationships in general.
Right. With non-kid people.
Because you have a whole brand new relationship with a person who relies upon you 24/7. Right. Imagine that.
Right. And that's the thing I was thinking of too, which is not only does or has your life evolved into a new, I know Mary uses this term a lot, into a new season.
Yes. I love that word.
That person that does not have children is still in the same season that you were once in. And here's the real issue. The things that you bonded over during that previous season may not be readily available to you now in your new season. And another issue that you run into is you have kids. And guess what? It's hard, even when you're out away from your kids, to not talk about your kids. It's just natural. Like, you can't help it.
But that's some of the work that we're talking about that you have to put in, is that when you do go out with friends who don't have kids, try not to talk about your kids all the time. Try to talk about those interests that you had in common. Mm-hmm. Or talk to your friend about what new is going on in her or his own life. Because we get it, especially like you're with your kids so frequently. They do cute things. They do funny things. You have videos, all this kind of stuff. But for someone who you don't get to see that frequently, you need to make sure that it's a two-way street.
Right. Right.
Number 7, your child, whether infant or toddler, can be the worst thing that's ever happened to you. And sometimes it's okay to think that. Blake, why would you say this? Why
it's
am
true.
I reading this? Ron Burgundy, why?
It's true.
Not the worst thing that's ever happened to you? No.
Yes, it can't. Sometimes it's in the middle of the night. And you're tired and you're like, oh my God, stop crying. You're the bane of my existence. And of course, they're not really the worst thing that's ever happened to you.
Of course not.
In fact, they're probably maybe next to getting married or being with your spouse or what. I don't know. Maybe you won the World Series. I don't know. But sometimes they are just awful. Like
their actions, their behaviors, their face. You know, Bobby Sue Ford Franchella on Facebook said, "Remind yourself, most annoying childhood behavior is a phase, therefore not directly connected to anything you did or didn't do. If you think about this, it'll make you feel like a better parent." And I just love that.
Right, I agree. And like, okay, when Reese was in the throes of colic and I haven't slept for 48 hours or however, 72 hours, whatever it is. And he's just crying and I'm bouncing on the yoga ball in our old apartment and the floor is squeaking and I can't even keep my, I'm falling asleep with my, standing up, you know, like I really didn't like him at that one moment because it's very hard. And when you don't have sleep, your brain does funny things. It makes you feel funny ways and it makes you say funny things. Like you're not thinking straight. And if you do feel like, oh my God, I want to put the baby down and I need to like go away for 10 minutes, it's okay to feel like that. It's okay to think my child is angering me. But then again, your child is also the best thing that's ever happened to you too. So you have to find that fine balance of, it's okay that my kid's getting me mad, but it's okay that he or she is also just amazing. And you have to find that one part of you that just loves your child with all the fervor that you could ever muster. And that's what's most important. Don't you agree?
You know, one of the things that helped me get through the tough times was I really liked to take pictures because I felt like I would take pictures during the good times, during the cute times, on a cute outfit day. You name it, I was taking a picture, and I felt like I could then look back and remember good times and not really remember bad. And that is something that if you feel like, oh my gosh, we're having a tough phase, we're having a tough season, I want you to start taking pictures more. Take pictures of those good moments. Get those chat books or whatever books you want, Snapfish, Shutterfly, any of those things, but start taking those pictures, printing them out, hang them up around your house, and fill your house with happy, happy memories.
That's a good. You know what? That'll be our eighth tip. Take pictures and make yourself feel better and remind yourself of what it takes to have your kid. How's that sound? That could be our eighth tip.
Good,
sound good?
Good.
All right. Number nine. Don't worry about taking your baby around the world to introduce them to everybody. There's no point in doing that because that baby is your baby. And if somebody wants to meet your baby, in my opinion, they should be coming to your house on a schedule that is most convenient for you. That's just the way that it goes. I mean, you have your spouse and you have yourself, and whether you're a female, you just gave birth. And if you're a male, you're trying your best to keep your world around you in one sane place, and you're trying to make your family work together for the first time ever in your life. So if someone demands of you that you bring that child to their house so that they can meet them, my opinion is, sorry, no, I'm not doing that. If you want to meet my kid, come to my house when I say it's okay, and then you get to meet my kid. And I think that's fair. What do you think, my darling?
That's how I rolled. I didn't have energy to go see people. I was so tired after birth. I think I needed to relax and like recuperate for honestly the first 3 months. So, I mean, I went and visited people when I finally was up for it and when the baby was up for it. But yeah, please tell your friends to come visit you. Number 10 was submitted to us by our friend Rachel Van Horn. She suggests to pick your battles.
What do you mean?
You know, especially as your kids get a little older, you know, they're going to be making a mess around the house. They're going to be fussy eaters. They're going to want to wear one shirt, but they kind of need to wear another shirt. They're going to want one toy, but you kind of want the other toy. You don't need to nitpick everything in their life. You need to really pick your battles, especially, I mean, like through the younger years, through the toddler years and even growing up. Figure out what are the really big deals and then everything else kind of decide, all right, how am I going to handle this? Is this going to make or break, or is it something that we can just kind of like move on from because it's becoming too hard for us to deal with?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I think picking your battles is vital to your kid, but also to the people that are around you. To your spouse, to your friends, to your family. The battles that you fight with them are just as hard and just as real as the battles that you have with your kid on an every single day basis.
Yep.
If you picked on your spouse for every little thing of every day because they don't, you know, wash the kid the same way or that you do, or if, you know, they didn't cook the exact food the way that you prepare it, and like you would be at each other's throats all day, every single day. You know, a dad is a dad, and dads will do dad things, and a mom is a mom, and they will do mom things, and each parent has their own way of doing things. You just have to come to an agreement on how you want to do it, and then try your best to follow up with that.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with your family. Your family is going to get mad about one thing or another because of one thing that you did or you didn't do. And you can be frustrated about that, or you can just say, you know what? I'm okay. I got my own family. I got my own things to worry about right now. And that's okay to think that.
Yep.
That's okay. It's not selfish. What it is, it's just, it's realistic. It's, I got my own family. I got my, you know, you spend your whole life with the notion that, you know, most people do at least, that your family, the family that you grew up in, is the most important thing in your life. And that's not wrong. That's not wrong. But when you get your own family, again, that relationship, it evolves. And yes, your family, the one that you grew up with, is important. And you do anything for those people. And you, and they need to help to get moving, you help them move. If they need help to do whatever, you do it. But your family, your kids, and your spouse come first. And that's that. And you pick your battles. And you figure it out. Number 11. You're going to gain weight as a parent.
Most likely.
No, you're going to.
No, not everybody.
Well, I would say 98% of the people do.
There you go.
So more than likely, you're going to gain weight as a parent. And it's not your fault. Between no sleep, between being tired from getting no sleep, and being too lazy to cook healthy food because you're tired from getting no sleep, this all guarantees it. It's like a boiling cauldron of this situation that prevents you from being healthy. And what you have to do is either one, you just have to go into it knowing that I'm going to have my own routine, I'm going to stick to my own routine, or I know that I'm probably going to gain a little weight because you're going to eat crap food and you're going to eat at odd times and you're not going to be sleeping, so your body can't recover and it can't, you can't get your biorhythms right because the baby is constantly up and you're like, oh my God, I can make a meal, but I'm too tired to make a meal. All right, so just, you know what, call Domino's and let's get a pizza and we'll just eat that. We'll eat it quick and then we can get back to the kids. That happens. It happens all the time. So you either have to stick to your convictions or know that you're going to gain weight. And then when you're done, when you finally come out of it, like, you know, like a year and a half, 2 years later, know that you're just going to have to work hard to lose that weight again, if you so choose. If you don't want to lose weight, you don't have to. But it's probably going to happen, and you just have to. It happened to me. I gained a lot of weight, man, after we had Felicity. I mean, for a number of reasons, but it happened. So now I'm in the throes of trying to make it work again and trying to get myself to feel better about it. How about you, my darling? As a woman, how do you feel about this?
Yes, I gained weight, and hopefully it'll come off soon.
Good. All right, I'll go along with that.
All right, number 12, Mark Margo, a listener of Parentcast and a friend of mine, said that kids will always outgrow the clothes faster than you can buy them. Don't get too attached to a favorite outfit until they reach a certain age. Thrift stores are the best bang for the buck.
Always. You know what? Do not go to Baby Gap. Don't do it. Just go to Savers or go to Salvation Army. Spend the dollar on the kids' shoes or $2 on the kids' pants or whatever. Don't go spending $30 on kids' jeans because they're just going to grow out of it. And I know the argument. Oh, well, if you get the good stuff, if you have multiple kids, you'll be able to pass them down and have your second kid or your third kid wear them. I agree. Totally. I understand. And maybe it's that one-time investment that you're going to make with those clothes. But then again, you don't have to make that one-time investment. You don't have to spend all that money up front. You can do it by just going to Savers or going to Salvation Army. And I'd say a good 80% of our kids' clothes, maybe more than that, maybe 90% of our kids' clothes from Salvation Army. And guess what? They look just as good.
Yep, Salvation Army or given to us from a friend.
Right, and that's the way to go too. If your friend has clothes, maybe they can give it to you. And I think that is an amazing opportunity to save money, but also keep your kid, you know, in style for, you know, a little bit. Who knows? I don't know. All right. This one I really firmly believe in. If your baby's room isn't totally completed yet in terms of decoration.
Like when you're pregnant.
When you're pregnant, yeah. Okay. or, you know, every last little detail, like the perfect little box that holds all the perfect little teeny tiny newborn sized diapers. If it isn't ready yet, by the time the kid comes home, it's really okay. It's really okay. Because the kid is not going to know. That room decoration, in my opinion, is really just for the parents. It's for the parents to be able to be like, this room is so cute. I love it. I have all the great, cute little decorations. And it makes me feel good when I'm in here. But the kid isn't going to know. And as long as you are happy and as long as you're with your kid, you have time to finish your baby's room. It just makes sense. Like, I know when we had Reese, his room wasn't even completed. And we had forever to do it. And it got done. And it was okay. It all worked out in the end. He's fine.
We moved.
We moved?
2 times. We had to redo his room anyway.
So whatever. You know what? It happens. And by the time that he's 4 years old, he's going to like his own thing anyway. So it's fine. Like now Reese, all he wants to do is decorate his room in Wildcrats and How to Train Your Dragon and like, you know, music stuff. Because those are the things that he loves. And think of all the anguish and all of like the frustration or the things that you're going through in the middle of trying to set it all up. You don't need to get overstressed about it. Just let it happen. Let your kid's room be your kid's room. And I can get along with that.
Number 14, make a plan for naps and never give up on them. Okay, so everyone needs to work around the nap schedule. That's how it goes. This saved our sanity. So maybe you have like the diamond in the rough kid that can nap everywhere and can be joyous and bubbly anytime.
I'm very jealous of you.
Amen. Our family has realized that naps are sacred. And if there is a birthday party at 1 p.m., we're not going to that birthday party because that's nap time. Yep. You know, we will send a present. We will send a little birthday text, maybe do a FaceTime and sing happy birthday to you. But we are not going. I'm terribly, terribly sorry, but it's just not going to happen. And that is because if our kids didn't nap, it would mess them up for days. Mm-hmm. Days. It was like so much pain, you know, and then to be up in the middle of the night. And gosh, it was like, it reminded me of having a hangover. It's like, is it really worth going out and having a few extra drinks? Because you know, after you turn 26, you can't recover from a hangover the way you used to. I'd even argue to say 23.
And you might wake up with a face tattoo. Like, that's what it feels like with kids. So, waking up with a face tattoo.
Yeah, and it's like if they don't get their naps, they are thrown off. They just don't sleep well that night. So if your child loves naps, just stick to it.
Right. Our schedule was the kid got up at no later than 6:30, went for a nap at 9. Woke up around, 10:30?
I'd say 10:30.
Yep. Woke back up, went back for a nap at 1 o'clock, and woke up around, I'd say, no later than 4.
Uh-huh.
And then back in bed again by 7.
Yeah. It was beautiful.
And we did that every single day.
I had no friends.
And sometimes that's what it takes.
Yeah.
That's what it takes. If you want to keep your sanity and if you want to be able to function, even on a basic level, you need to have those naps. And there is nothing, nothing gets in the way of your nap schedule. That's just the way that it goes. The last one, number 15, is always. Oh, wow, I got a second one in there. Jeez, look at that. Always put your partner first. Find time for them. Find time for them to be alone. For the first 2 years of having a baby, it's hard to be human. It really is. Because you are at the beck and call of this child who needs you constantly, especially if you're a woman. Especially if you're breastfeeding. They just need you. Always. So you need every single little break you can get. As such, your spouse has to make time for that parent to be alone by themselves to do whatever they need to do. And the parents need to make a plan in the budget for babysitters. I know it's tough to find good, reliable babysitters. I know that it takes a lot of work to find people that you can trust with your children. But you can do it. We've done it. Our friends have done it. It can happen. So find a way in your budget to find a place for babysitters.
Now, there's probably some of you who are listening and are like, I'm a new parent. I don't have any money. One of the things that I did early on is like a babysitting swap. So I babysat another friend's kid, and she and her husband got to go out on a date. And then she watched my kid, and we got to go out on a date. So that is something else you can do. Like if you're at a new mom's group or something, that could be something. If spending money on a babysitter just really isn't in the budget, that's a way that you can get around it.
Oh, here's bonus material for you. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Find a new mom's group.
There you
go. Find one. Because you get the benefit of having all of those resources at your fingertips when you're in the middle of doing it. And maybe, yes, you can do a babysitter swap. Or maybe there is another mom in the group that has already had a kid, and you can latch on to them and like, hey, what do I do here? Finding a new mom's group is really important to your survival, I think, as a mom. Mary did it. It was amazing for not only for her, but for me, because it gave me some confidence knowing that Mary could be with other adults. She could be with other people that could say more than baby babble. You know, it just at least if at the very least, if it was for a half hour. You know, and that is what is most important. And that is the not the top, but our 15 realistic parenting tips for you. My darling, are you ready to get into the wine of the week for this week? All right, let's do it. All right, so this week it's my turn for the wine of the week. And I just got to say, my daughter, she's two. When do the terrible twos end? When do they end? We didn't have this with Reese. And she screams this high pit. Like it's like dog whistle.
Yeah, it's pretty much close to dog whistle pitch.
It's dog whistle. I don't know how she does it.
She's going to be an incredible soprano.
When does it end? Like, when does the foot stomping end? When does like just that attitude end?
30?
Oh my God.
I don't know.
Oh man. So I just have to say the terrible twos are tough, man. Especially those dog whistle
screams and tantrums.
Oh, but you want to know what the good news is?
Yep.
It's time for the win of the week.
Good.
My love, what do you got for the win of the week?
The win of the week is that same 2-year-old who's being a little punky is starting to potty train herself. Like, I haven't even really been pushing it. I haven't actually been encouraging it. And she honestly will say, I'm a potty. And you'll bring her to the potty and she'll go potty. Or if, say, you're out and you're like, hey, do you want to go use the potty? She does, and she uses it properly. Mm-hmm. And she's like a new two. And she's doing it all by herself, which is really cool. So she is the second born. So I'm not like completely shocked, but it is pretty cool.
Here is my favorite part of this entire podcast. You want to know what it is?
Yeah.
It's Dexter time. It's the parent pick of the week. Marvin, what do you got?
Hello Fresh.
I'm sorry, what?
Hello Fresh.
Hello, I'm not fresh. Actually, I just took a shower, so maybe I am.
So Hello Fresh is one of these like meal delivery services, and at first we were like, man, I don't know about this. Like, this looks a little expensive. We're on a budget. But then we realized how much food we were wasting. And what I love about HelloFresh is that they mail you a refrigerated box of food, and it has foolproof cooking instructions that give you a meal that is
even
ready.
We can do it.
Yeah, and we are not good cooks, but we feel like it now 3 times a week. And the portions are really good. Sometimes we have leftovers. You can choose a family-friendly option. You could choose vegetarian option. You could choose a fit option. We're just doing like classic. We're just like, teach us HelloFresh. And then you get to keep the recipe cards. So if we ever do have friends again, want to come over.
At one point in our lives.
Want to come over. We could impress them with our new culinary skills. But yeah, it's been really great. I mean, I've talked about before how much I love Peapod and just having like food delivered to my house. But we were just making the same thing every single day. And I was getting bored with it. And that's when we started to order Domino's. And I was like, you know, it, by the time it takes Domino's to get here, we could have made something, but we just don't know what we're doing. So yeah, HelloFresh it is.
That's the way to go.
And if you want a like a trial box or a discount, I actually have some. I actually really do. You're looking at me like with surprise. I think I have like six. So the first six people to message ParentCast on Facebook and say, hey, can I have a HelloFresh trial code?
Just, oh, okay. I'm like,
just send me a message.
We have six boxes here that we can
get. Oh, no.
Get.
I have like trial code boxes because I've been doing it for so long. They're like, tell your friends. And I'm like,
okay.
Well, okay.
So the first six of you to message ParentCast via Facebook, either private message or even on the wall, you will apparently get
gets a discount.
Get a discount.
At least a discount. I know that.
Yeah. So there you go. That's another reason, another amazing reason to listen to ParentCast. My darling, you ready to close out the show?
Yes.
So that is the end of the second, technically, episode of Season 2 of ParentCast. Thank you for joining us. You can find all of our shows and everything that we do at ParentCastPodcast.com.
We love to be social, but the place that we are the most social is Facebook. You can find us at Facebook.com/ParentCast. There we are.
That's it.
That's it, everybody. I'm Mary.
My name is Blake.
And you've been listening to ParentCast.